EXO Takeover.
Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of EXO Takeover, and today I am joined with the one, the only, Will Adds. Welcome to the show, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, man.
So, for those who may not know, or maybe new to meeting you, could you give us a little introduction to yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Will Adds. I'm basically a content creator, artist. You may have seen some of my skits before of like me doing behind the scenes of like the weekend in the studio with like the producers, how this song was made, basically making a whole bunch of skits about like all like weekend, anything weekend related. But yeah, that's pretty much a little bit of what I do. Yeah.
What would you say has been your favorite skit to create?
Okay. My favorite skit right now would have to be, honestly, the transition. My most recent one, which is the transition from Baptized in Fear to Open Hearts, I think was just a really, really good one. Just because, like, the transition alone just sounds awesome. And I'm like, you know what? I wonder how they actually felt in the studio making this song, right? It must have been mind-blowing. So I just thought I'd put the creative mindset in and just create that video and... Yeah.
I think one of the skits that you've done that comes straight to mind for me has to be the Dawn FM transition from Best Friend to Is There Someone Else? I think
that, that one is a classic. That one was, I think that was the first video I have created, and he recognized the video and reposted it. And that day was pretty insane because, what was it? The album had just dropped. I went into school and I just got a notification that my video was reposted. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in downtown. It's a vibe. I'm listening to The Weeknd on the GO train. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe this happened. But it was a very crazy feeling, man. It's like getting to hear your favorite artist and then now getting reposted by him. It's like, it's awesome.
I can only imagine. I've not been fortunate. Been fortunate enough? No, I have. I think Abel reposted something I did back when Blinding Lights came out, but it's been a while. I need to get reposted again at some point.
No, why not, bro? Honestly, it's just consistency, and that's all it is, man. Like, if your content's there and you just keep on being consistent in it, that's all it is. You only grow bigger from there as long as you're consistent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And speaking of consistency, back here, Season 2, EXO Takeover. And in traditional style, I would like to ask you a few questions about the weekend, mainly Hurry Up Tomorrow, and then at the end, ask you for your top five. So I'd like to kick it off with, do you think that Hurry Up Tomorrow marks a new era for the weekend as an artist?
I would say so. Meaning like... What do you mean, like, marks a new era? Like,
so, I'd say Abel came into the scene as an R&B artist, and then we've had
right.
the Trilogy era, the Kissland era,
yeah.
And even though this is a new trilogy, would you consider it a new era of its own?
I would agree. I would definitely agree, because the Trilogy era, and I think just, like, Trilogy and around like Kiss Land, Beauty Behind the Madness era, they're all pretty dark in its own way, right? It's very dark, and comparing it to like now, it's more like a fun dark. Like back then, it was dark, but like it's really trippy at the same time. And he kind of combined a little bit more creativity with these new, with the new trilogy of After Hours, Dawn FM, and now Hurry Up Tomorrow. It's like, even the album cover says it all, right? It's just his face on these album covers. So are all of them, but like the way that it's just portrayed on the covers itself, it's also telling a story. With this new era that we have, it's like super, super different. More, I don't know, colors involved. It's more visually like crazy, and he gets like so into depth with the story. It's pretty creative how he does it, and people still like question. It's like, oh, like does this connect to that? Does that connect to this? Wait, does that mean this is that? Like, we always question everything that he puts out, right? He's just a storyteller in his own way.
In terms of his album covers, because pretty much all of them are of his face, which one would you say favorite album cover?
Favorite album cover? That's a great one. I think My Dear Melancholy is definitely different because it's just his one eye, right? It's just the one eye and like the nose here, and it's that got that grainy texture to it, and I kind of like that one. It's a very clean, very nice EP. Like, I think the most underrated song is Hurt You, for sure, and I think that one would definitely be the most like different one and unique one for me.
And going again with the album covers, you know, would you agree that album covers help set the tone of what you're expecting going into listening to it?
Oh, yeah, of course. When you create an album cover, that picture alone tells how the vibe of the album will be. That's part of being like there's so many artists who just drop an album cover, it looks great, yeah, but like does it like all these songs kind of sound the same, right? All these soundtracks. With him, you see the album cover and you question it and you also feel like, "Oh my God, wait, this makes sense." Why this is the picture. And then you listen to the soundtracks, like, because every album cover, or sorry, every album cover that he puts out, you look at it and you listen to the songs after, it tells a story. There is something being told, right? You get that vibe. You could, like, look at the cover and hear the songs and be like, oh my God, this blends so well with that. Like, this flows so nicely. Yeah, there's so many artists that just put it out. There's not really much to tell. It may be great music, but like there's only a few artists who could tell stories with their work. That's what I would say.
In terms of telling the story, I know we're talking about album covers a lot at the minute, but in terms of the story fitting, which album cover of Abel's would you say fits most with the story?
After Hours, for sure. There was so much going on when After Hours came out. And After Hours and Don FM. Beauty Behind the Madness is also interesting because it has like those tears, paper tears in them. And everything was kind of like just like a very like I don't want to be like calling out like what's going on with Ellie and the Fires right now, but everything was on fire in the Beauty Behind the Madness in 2015, right? Everything was kind of like in burning or like just super like gory kind of vibe, but like it was just that terror that also just speaks loud on the cover for me. But yeah, After Hours, back to After Hours, yeah, it was definitely the biggest one I think that told the biggest story. Yeah, there was just like it was visually pleasing, there's all the connections with the movies that he's referenced. And that's another thing I like about it, right? He gets inspired from these films that he's seen and he puts his own twist to it, which is super, super dope.
Speaking about the music videos and the cinematic references, can we expect to see more, do you reckon?
Sorry, more, what was it?
More like cinematic references in films.
For him, right? For his
Yeah.
cinematic, more films from him?
More cinematic references of films.
More cinematic? Yeah. I feel like he's a huge movie guy, I would say. He just keeps it very low key, and it's like kind of like if you know kind of thing, right? It's for us to kind of pick up on that. If we notice something is referenced in his like music videos, we would call it out, be like, oh man, that's from there. Or he like would tease like, you know, maybe like the director or the like just something like a part of like the movie that he put on the story, so that way we get like a little bit of context of like where we're getting this reference from, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know, we've already got a lot of music videos so far, and then just I'd say roughly, just a rough estimate, how many more music videos from this 22-tracked album can you expect to see?
Oh man, I feel like he has all these music videos archived right now, and I totally get it because of the film for Hurry Up Tomorrow. But I'm expecting a lot more visualizers, if anything, where it's just like playing like background footage, and then you have the lyrics just kind of pop up on the screen, just because I think it would blend well with the film that he has put out or he is going to put out for May. I could definitely see a lot more visualizers than music videos. But that's just my opinion. But yeah.
Do you think from, we've got the Hurry Up Tomorrow trailer that came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before. After seeing the trailer, can you now see why the album is like it is, or do you think you need to see more?
I will be honest, I feel like I would need to see a little bit more. It's the first trailer, so I'm not going to give it like what you may call like it's oh my God, the best movie ever right now, because you just watch the trailer. It's like, oh my God, this is the best movie. This is so good. This is like, oh my gosh, can't believe it. No, it's a first trailer. He does not want to give out too much. I, on my end, put like a few things together, but it still hasn't grasped where I'm like, wait, why did he, what is it about himself? Like, what is the story actually being like told about, right? What got me was what Jenna Ortega kind of like jumps and screams near the end of the trailer, right? It's like attacks him almost. So I'm thinking she's like a crazy fan. That's my theory. But yeah, I'm glad that he didn't put out too much. It's for us to like kind of watch it and let us think on it. It's like, what is going on in this trailer?
Do you think we can expect to see another trailer anytime soon before the film comes out?
Yeah, I definitely expect a clip and two more trailers, like the final trailer before the movie actually premieres, and then like a second trailer in between from here and to then the premiere night. But yeah, definitely a clip we would see. I hope it's a clip with Barry Keoghan. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but yeah, that he's a great, phenomenal actor. So is Jenna Ortega, but like those two working together, it's pretty big. It is huge. I know there's probably a lot more Jenna Ortega fans than there is Barry, but this one is, it's probably like means a lot to him that he's able to work with these two people, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The next question I have still relating to the film, but it's kind of a two-parter. So with the album, do you feel like there's a deeper, like philosophical kind of meaning behind it? And then the second part of the question would be, do you think that that will be shown in the film?
Dang. View of the album. I think it will be shown in the album. You listen to the album, you've heard all the songs, and then when you see the movie, I think some things will connect. Cause it's like it's funny because it's the movie about him, right? But what do we really like, what is it about him that we are like getting to like see for this album? Because we just only heard the songs from him, but now we're hearing a whole backstory of like a film about him, and it's self-titled as Hurry Up Tomorrow. Like, what? There's got to be a deeper meaning going on here. I still question it. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. As of now, I have no idea what to expect. Yeah.
I think when thinking about it now and with what you've just said, that's got me thinking, is this entire film that we're about to witness, is this going to take place over one night?
Over one night. You know, I could see it for one night from the trailer. Yeah, I could see like, yeah, it looks like it could be a one night thing. I hope it's like, I hope the movie's at least like a hour 45 maybe? 2 hour mark? Yeah, hopefully. But yeah.
One can only hope, but do you feel like we're going to see a different side of Abel in this film compared to the likes of The Idol and Uncut Gems?
Yeah. When it comes to like the acting of Abel, I feel like he, what I rate about him is that he is always pushing it no matter like how negative any kind of like feedback comes from him. I thought his acting was great in The Idol. Everyone thought it was like a little bit cringy or like a little bit odd, but there is stories that he is telling. It's just not everyone is on the same standpoint, right? Everyone's got a different perspective on it. But when it comes to his acting, I like how he's taking this new, like, it's a new, another era for him. It's just not anything music related. It's acting, which is all completely, no artist is doing what he's doing right now, right? He's putting out an album that is also a movie, and it's about himself as an artist. Like, nobody else is doing that right now. No, I don't think anyone has done that even. But it's crazy to see that we get to see a movie about him, and it's called Hurry Up Tomorrow based on the album, which is cr so creative. Like, he is just so creative.
Do you think that Abel will continue to act after this film's come out? Do you think that's where he's trying to go now?
Into acting, I feel like it could be a possibility because he is, trying to switch over his name to Abel Tesfaye, right? So for and this being the last album and of The Weeknd, I feel like is another story to be told. I feel like this is the end of The Weeknd, correct? And we're now getting Abel Tesfaye after this album. We're gonna be able to get Abel Tesfaye after the movie. That's Abel Tesfaye, right? And then he'll be switching over his name to Abel, and then he'll be dropping music under Abel. But I could see that happening, but I also can't. It's like 50-50 for me. I just feel like he can't give up the name The Weeknd, but as part of his story and how he wants to go about, doing movies and stuff, I totally get why he would want to switch out his name.
I do want to touch up on just what you've mentioned just then. Do you think we will ever get another weekend?
Another Weeknd. Like you're talking as like another artist being on the same level as The Weeknd, or yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, another artist at that same level, or years down the line, someone else becomes an artist called The Weeknd or something similar.
Absolutely not. You can't. Like there's no way. There's absolutely no way. The way that this guy moves, nobody else is going to be doing what he's doing. Everything he's put out from the beginning, he's kept on a low profile. His fan base is huge on a low profile too, right? It's just like he's doing it. He's literally doing what other artists dream of doing. And I think that inspires so many others to be like doing like any musician, artist, or anybody like with a creative like mindset. He's probably moving those guys like, just in a very inspirational way to like, if I'm so glad I'm able to like give this back to my fans, and I hope that they are looking up to me and are able to create something that like is original to them and they love to do it. And I think he inspires so many people, man. Like there is so many layers to it of what he does that is just why people love the guy so much. There is.
I honestly couldn't agree more. I don't think we will ever see in our lifetime someone doing it like he does it. And
No, I won't.
even in the next lifetime, I can't see myself seeing someone reach the levels he's reached. But I do want to bring it to this current trilogy that we're experiencing and ask, Mike Dean, huge collaborator since Starboy, I believe. But in terms of the new trilogy, Mike Dean on The Simps, is there a beat where The Simps really stand out to you?
Oh my gosh. That is a great question, Mike Dean, man. When you hear his synths, it makes you just like you sometimes get like I've heard Mike Dean on the headphones and I'm like getting goosebumps, like, oh my God. The way he just plays the key at that moment. Definitely a huge one was I think some of the idol stuff that he was doing was absolutely crazy phenomenal. It blended really well with the album. Like even The Lore, I think is like the most underrated work of Mike Dean's, I would say. The Lore was very, very, very creative. And you just hear the ding, 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 ding. And it's just like that delay. It was crazy. But a Mike Dean piano key synth that I find to be outstanding, that's a tough one. There's so many. Gosh, it would have to be. I think Starry Eyes is pretty typical, but it's a very nice one. It's a very nice one. Very clean, I would say.
Fair enough. I do love, I agree with the idol stuff. I am a huge fan of the rendition of Jealous Guy. There's just something about it. It's just the Mike Dean synths, and it's just. With the collaborations Abel's had on this album, we've had Mike Dean, Swedish House Mafia, Travis Scott, Florence and the Machine, Lana Del Rey, yada yada yada. Any collaborations that you think are very significant to you?
Collaboration significant to me. I think as of recent, Lana Del Rey on Hold Your Heart was not on anybody's list. Like, I think that was just me, my girl and I freaked out when we listened to it. We were like, oh my God, is that Lana Del Rey? All you hear is the uh-oh, and we're like, holy shit, is that Lana Del Rey? And we lost our mind because it's Lana Del Rey and Abel. They haven't linked together since Starboy, and we got that again, and we're just like, he does that, he purposely does that kind of shit though, because he knows that that's the fan, like the fans wanting like a Lana Del Rey Abel collaboration for so long, right? So I'm glad that he got Lana on that soundtrack, because I had no idea she was gonna be on it. I thought it was just gonna be him. No, Lana Del Rey featured on that, and we're all just in shock. And on top of that, we have Cherry 22 now that is starting to feature on some things of The Weeknd, right? She was able to just do a little bit of the voicemail or the voice message on that album, and I'm glad that she was able to be a part of the album. That's awesome. But I really, really, really am waiting for a Cherry and Abel collab. Like, that I think would be phenomenal. Her voice, too angelic. She has to, like, there's gotta be something. It's gonna be like maybe this year, could be, or next year. I don't know, but I really hope to see those two like work together more often.
Do you think we're going to start hearing a lot more from Cherry now?
Yeah, honestly, I would say so. Cherry's still like she, her, people are still discovering her, and I mean that in a good way, right? People are still discovering this artist. I think her voice is very angelic. The Other Side is a very underrated EP that she has dropped. Even the first track, which is the title of the album, The Other Side, very beautiful song. Call Me, great song. The Fall's amazing. Worlds Away, amazing. It's just a matter of time before other people did like discover her. I feel like it's gonna take like un it's gonna sound like kind of shitty, but not. But I feel like when you see a Weeknd featuring Cherry 22, that's when she's gonna blow up all of a sudden. It's just like, oh, because I featured with the Weeknd, it's like now it's all X and O's. That's literally what she said, right? So yeah, I'm waiting for like everyone to like see what she is capable of doing and what she has to offer to the world. Like, it's gonna be great.
Could we expect to see a Willard skit about Cherry music?
See, that would be a little bit difficult because, like, I would have to. Yeah, it would be a little bit difficult because I have to wear, like, a wig or something, or, like, you know, gotta get bangs. Like, I can't. I don't know. I don't know if I could do all that, but I will try to get my girl to maybe. Maybe if she wants to do more videos. It was hard enough to do that one video with her. So, yeah. Yeah, potentially. I could try to make something happen, but it might be a little bit sus, but it's okay.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So, going on, Hurry Up Tomorrow is out, as everyone knows. I don't know why I keep saying that, but we move. Is there a particular song? I know you mentioned Lana Del Rey, and I think a lot of people are so hyped about that. But is there a particular song that you think is going to really stand out and get talked about a lot in this album?
Yeah. I know everyone's on like Cry For Me right now, and I totally get it. That is a banger of a soundtrack. But Baptized in Fear is such a beautiful song. It's the like every time you hear it, you're like, oh my God. And then I think like for those who got tickets to go see Abel's, like you're getting to hear this live. It's like, oh my gosh, like this is insane. But Baptized in Fear is, I think, was the one that stood out the most to me. Because when you first hear it, it's just the beat was absolutely insane. Vocals were crazy. Transition into I can't, oh sorry, to Open Hearts. Like everything about that soundtrack was awesome. It's such a flows well. It just flows well. It's such a very nice song.
Would you say that's your favorite transition as well on the album?
I like, honestly, that one is getting to me, and I Can't Fucking Sing to Sao Paulo. I was not expecting a transition to Sao Paulo like that. When you first heard it, it's like, oh my God, wait, he really brought up I Can't Fucking Sing? thing about in 2022 about his voice. I'm like, oh my God, wait, what? And then I'm also, here's my theory. My theory is that there's a reason why he put this in the album, and I think it refers to something in the film. I feel like there is something in the film where he talks about like maybe losing his voice. Like maybe there's something that like he's like a like he's going crazy about something. Yeah, I feel like there's no way this is just about like what happened in 2022. I feel like this is connected to the film. He's taken something that has happened in his life and it's about him, right? So maybe he has portrayed himself as this character who like messed up or couldn't sing for a show and then is now on this like crazy what you may call roller coaster. Yeah. That's just my theory though. Yeah.
Well, like they say, everything happens for a reason. And
Yeah.
as soon as Hurry Up Tomorrow, the film comes out, maybe we'll finally truly understand and maybe even appreciate it more. But in terms of questions, I think that is it for this week. So now it is an honor to hand it over to you to let us, the people watching, the people listening, know your top five EXO songs and why. Doesn't have to be Hurry Up Tomorrow, can be any EXO songs.
Dang, I might have to pull up the discovery here or discography. But oh man. Okay, give me a second here. We're gonna do okay, I'm gonna try to do one from like a two top five from like each album. So we'll go over to the very beginning. I'm gonna say right off the head or right off the bat is What You Need for sure. Actually, I'll switch it. High for This, that's one. Why? Growing up with older brothers. We were in a Chevrolet Malibu, so this is a very, very old car, right? My brother would be listening to The Weeknd, and I'd be in the back seat in my little booster seat, and I'm just listening to it, and I'm also vibing with it because I'm like, oh man, this sounds really good. And as a kid, I don't know what he's saying or what the lyrics are, but I just knew that the vibes were it. Yeah, I remember hearing High for This and Birds Part One, just like pretty much House of Balloons in general, playing in that car, and it just kind of like stood out to me. I'll go back to What You Need. I know this is like top five, but I'm just going everywhere now. I'm sorry. But back to What You Need. When you heard What You Need on the Trilogy album, there is something that was missing for the beginning of the song. And then he dropped it, I think like a couple years ago now, with the original soundtracks, how it was originally supposed to be sound, right? It's that, give me the homie, close, 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 close. And then I'm like, oh my God, wait, I've heard that before. Is that from the actual like the original? Because I was like when I first heard it again, it just kind of hit a nostalgic feeling. I'm like, I remember being in that Malibu listening to that song. A Trilogy was so or House of Balloons, Echoes of Silence, and Thursday were so different to me because I was able to hear that with my brothers, and I didn't like I just remember I wasn't a fan at the time, but I just knew that this music was awesome. I'm just like, oh my God, this oh, I get to hear this in the car, like lit. But anyways, from we'll do Trilogy in general. I would say top overall, like number one, is going to be like High for This. High for This for sure. Number two now, sorry. Number two is gonna be, man, off of Wonder, or sorry, off of Kissland. I really like Professional. I think the beat switch in Professional is absolutely insane. And it's also just like, you could play that, and it's the best time to play that is at night. Yeah.
Prefer that to the beat switch on adaptation.
Adaptation is a great one too, but I still prefer Professional, I think, personally. But yeah, Adaptation is a great one as well. When it comes to
Number three.
number three. Okay. Oh, this is so tough. Okay. Okay, I'm going to actually pass on like the Starboy album. I'll go to Beauty Behind the Madness. I'm going to say would be, man, Tell Your Friends. I think Tell Your Friends, he was just spitting bars. He was just absolutely going insane in that one. Just had to come for everyone's head top. It was just like, oh my God, this guy was spitting. He was just bar for bar, everything. Awesome.
So you've got, that's your, you've done three. You've
Yeah.
got two left to pick, and you've got three albums and an EP.
Three albums and EP? Okay. All right. Off of My Dear Melancholy is going to be Hurt You. Hurt You is awesome. Hurt You is a great, great, great song that I think he should perform more live. I think Hurt You Live would be an amazing song to hear. But that's just my take on it. And this, th that, yeah, that's just my take on it. Are we at two or one?
Last song.
Oh my God. I might have done all this wrong. Okay. I'm going to say, okay, number one for me is Escape from LA. That's the cleanest song I've heard. Hands down. Escape from LA is too clean of a song. It was very different because like I also consider that to be like my girl and I song. Like, we fell in love with that song when we first heard the album drop and we're just like, wow, this is it. Like, so good. And yeah, that was so difficult.
That is an incredible top five, but I do just want to quickly ask before we finish the show, if you had one song to suggest to someone who's never listened to The Weeknd before, what would the one song be?
God, that is a great question. I wouldn't. Here's my thing, right? I don't know if I would start them off with his early work, because I feel like people in today's generation now are more so flowing with the After Hours to the Hurry. I'm actually gonna exclude Hurry Up Tomorrow from this, because if I'm gonna be recommending, I wouldn't start off with the newest album. But if I was to, I would show them Escape from LA. I would let them have that a listen, like give a listen to that, and come back to me. Even like Stargirl Interlude would be a great one. It may just be an interlude, but it's art being put into that song. There is just so nice.
I'm surprised you didn't go down the Blinding Lights route.
Blinding, see, like it's a great song. Blinding Lights is a good song, but I wanna put out like, I wouldn't show them the most like not overplayed, but the most popular song, right? I wouldn't show them like The Hills. Actually, I would still show them The Hills, just cause like, well, I lied, I lied. That I would still show. As a first timer hearing The Hills in the car, you're like, holy shit! You're like, oh my God. Yeah, maybe that's my answer. I'll just keep it at The Hills. There's two different ways I could go about it, right? It's either I play slow, calm Abel, or I play hype, epic Abel. There's just the red pill, blue pill. I just don't know.
Fair enough. Well, unfortunately, that is the end for this week's episode of EXO Takeover. I would just like to thank you again so much, Will Ads, for being a part. Yeah, join us again next Sunday. More episodes, more special guests, talking more things. EXO.